Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Monday, August 5th, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Howdy! I thought I'd throw my Texas greeting on you today. I'm from the Midwest, but I'm down here in Houston with a lot of lovely-sounding Southern folks who have that unique drawl. I love hearing it. And they often say to me, "You're from the North, aren't you?" I have to laugh. I say, "You think? How could you tell?" Anyways, howdy, happy Monday. Thank you for taking the time to check out Foxology today. Well, how's life? You know, whatever your answer is to that question, I bet you can also say that it's a journey, because it certainly is. Some days, some weeks, months, or even years can be filled with so many complexities and other stuff, and sometimes the roads are real straight and smooth. I think that though most of us can say that, you know, we've traveled for a while, we know quite a bit about it, and it's both exciting and interesting on many days. We learned, though, that we need all kinds of tools to maneuver it successfully, and things that we should pack and things that we should pick up along the way to help it be the easiest ride possible, things that can help us on this trip called life. And that's what we'll be discussing on Foxology today. My radio BFF, my special guest, TV host Cassandra McShepherd, will join me for this conversation. I call her the superstar, RRR, because she's so multi-talented. I'm so glad to have her with me. Hey there, Cassandra.
Hey, Silver. How are you? How I'm doing.
See, it's contagious, isn't it?
It is.
You did that pretty good.
Yeah. My parents are from the South, so it's not too far within me.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, they have a real special sound, and I just really enjoy hearing it when I do. So howdy right back at you. I'm glad to be talking with you today, and this is Master Your Mindset Monday for those of you who didn't know that. And why do I call it that? Because I just really believe that we can be such a master of the things that we think about. Sometimes we need to redo, renew, redirect what we're thinking and doing, and that's what Master Your Mindset is all about. We take a look, we probe into the recesses of our thoughts and actions and how we do life, and hopefully come up with some better ways of mastering and maneuvering through it. So today, we're going to be talking about life as a journey and how do we pack for it. And I decided to have this conversation for a couple of reasons, and I'll tell you what they are. One of them, Patti LaBelle, says it so well. She said, "I never knew I had such lessons to learn." And boy, if that isn't the truth, when I speak for myself, when I think about over the years, I never realized that there would be so much to learn about, so much to experience, so many things that you have to learn the hard way, so many times that you bump into walls and that you fall. And not that we can prevent any of that from happening, but I do believe that we can have some understanding about those things in the right and proper perspective, so that when we do get to those points that seem challenging and that seem perplexing or seem complex to us, we have a better idea of how to maneuver again through it, how to think about it, how to actually get ourselves past those points. I really do wish I had known a lot more about it, because I think I could have saved myself a couple of bruises, both to my ego and to my spirit too, as well. So Cassandra and I are going to be talking about that today. Things we should be packing. What does it look like? You know, what kinds of things are we talking about? And I shared with Cassandra's story. I'm going to share with you. It's just a short one, but we're going to start there. Yesterday, I read the very unfortunate story about a young girl who is only 21 who had recently committed suicide because she was unable to find a job. And I found myself so disheartened and so saddened by that story. She had been looking for a job for a couple of years and unable to find one. And she left her mom, her dad, and her boyfriend a couple of notes, each one of them a note, something to the effect of, I can't do this anymore. And my question on the brink of this show that came to mind is, what was it that she had packed in her bag? And what was it that she should have had packed? Because it was very obvious that she had a lot of fear and a lot of discouragement in her bag. And what kinds of things could have flipped the script for her had she had perhaps more of it in her bag, to understand that not being able to find a job is really not so very unusual, and that if you keep looking, you will ultimately find it. So, Cassandra, I'm going to have a start there.
I am certainly as saddened as you and anyone hearing that must have been when you think about a life that hasn't even really begun in any kind of way on its own, cut short because it did not seem to fulfill some sort of expectation set on it by the world. 21 years old, just got legal. 21 years old, if she'd been looking for a job for a few years, that indicates little, if any, work experience, little, if any, real knowledge of the world as she may have stood in it independently. It's a very sad situation, and certainly with no judgment, Lord knows I know what it's like to hurt. I know what it's like to have nothing but questions and no answers. I understand all of that from a real personal perspective. However, I question at 21, where that was what made sense to her, if there wasn't something else going on. 21, you typically haven't had enough experiences to even really weigh out like a real depression. 21, typically, you spoke about notes to a mother, a father, and a boyfriend. Typically, you are still coddled and cuddled throughout that process of your life. You 20s or mid-20s that you're out in the world, past all that stuff, and the world starts kicking ass, that you are like, wait a minute, what happened? So I just wonder what else may have been going on. You speak about what was not in her bag, what kind of disconnect she had. Now, Not that that necessarily means anything. I wonder that as it pertains to her. There are many of us who are out doing life at many ages and stages of life with bags unpacked, half-packed, therefore unprepared for the things that are really natural that happen in the course of everybody's life that we did not know. And so it's like if I had known rain, I'd have packed an umbrella. I'd have brought an umbrella. And why did anybody tell me? There are many things that we can imagine, especially at this stage in our lives, Silver, that we could tell somebody, chances are you're going to need this or you're going to need to know that.
When I think of what happened to her, and you are, of course, right about what you've said, and I certainly don't want to sound like I'm making any judgment either that there's anybody to blame, because I know it's much more, it's much deeper than that. But I think of things like one of the things I would want to point to is that we're in a society that believes that so much is readily at our fingertips now, and things happen so quickly, or should happen so quickly, because we are so engaged in so much information and things that come to us so instantly that that generation could easily think that things are just supposed to happen quickly like that, and if they don't, something's really, really, really wrong. And so when I pondered for a little bit over her situation, I thought, wow, the understanding of patience should be in a person's bag, to know that life happens in a way that we cannot push buttons and control it like we would like to, or have this, you know, magical ability to make things happen, and it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that we might be a good person or a wonderful person. She was probably a very bright, enthusiastic young woman. And you know, sometimes, too, we think things just ought to happen. You got a good life, parents, and all of that. But there is just a reality of being proactive and being patient, and those things do need to be in our bag. And I would have liked to think that she had encouragement around her that would say, just hang in there. Yeah, it's been a long time, but just hang in there. Something will happen. That's the generic thing, you know, that we say to people when we are going through things. But having that encouragement and support in our bag from others, and it's something I really want people to hear. We don't always have the right answer to tell them to put in that bag, but just to say something that's supportive, that is something that offers encouragement, is often something that we can put in there that will take us a long way till we get where we need to go.
Mm-hmm. I think about, though, encouraging someone and what that means to encourage. It takes courage, it takes presence to navigate life, and it's very personal. It's something that cannot be done for someone else. And so I love the analogy of packing for the journey, which is life, and what should be in that bag. And courage, presence.
You were breaking up a lot, Cassandra. I'm going to have to ask you if you can reflect on what you were just explaining.
I was saying that we talked about being encouraged and yet and still and courageous and present and all of that, and that we would tell someone to do that. But a lot of times what it takes to be those things, to be courageous and to be present, is surviving situations and building those muscles where we fall short. And life is personal. It's something that's really got to be lived. You've got to create a hunger and a taste for it. So when I think about what should be packed in the bag for travel, I think, is a knowledge of purpose, of one's purpose here in this called life at this time called now. That young woman and everybody should know that if they are here, it's by plan, it's on purpose, and you start there. Because if you find yourself at the juncture of discord or confusion, if you are standing in the ground of, but I am here on purpose, it is no small thing, it is not by chance. And if you can grow from that position, then you can begin to, and again, as we talked about before, Silver, when in any situation that appears less than lovely for you, if you go from asking, why me, which immediately identifies you to yourself as a victim, to what's this or what now, you go from a victim to a student. The what now and the what's this is a question that invites an answer with the gift of information. And you view it and yourself in it differently versus, oh, why me?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know when I think back, I got off to life and, you know, wanted to grow up, or, no, I won't say that I wanted to grow up sooner than I should have. I entered into life, of course, like any other kid. You don't know any more than what you experience and what teachers and parents and things tell you. But I had to grow up pretty fast, becoming a teen mother and getting married early, and lots of things that happened that catapult you into life in a way that, you know, offers a lot of very unexpected things. And when I think back, about my parents telling me as much as they possibly could about expectations and about how things would shake out, lessons that they understood and knew and could share. I think they probably did tell me as much as they thought they could have or should have at that point. However, I feel like a lot of what I've learned, as I had said earlier, I learned the hard way. But I wish, and I don't mean wish in I wish that we would begin to really offer information and instruction to children, they're growing up and they're trying to grasp hold of concepts of living in the world, that we would tell them that there are these places in life that you get to. They're your aspirations, and certainly being on purpose, that you are here for a purpose, is so critical to understand. But to also let them know that along the journey, there will be things that happen that you won't expect. There will be things that will hurt you that you won't expect. There will be love and there will be heartbreak. There will be marriage and then there will be divorce, potentially could happen. That there could be many things that can happen that you just should know. Not that it's your fault, not that you're responsible, but these are just things that do occur. And it won't, again, necessarily prevent any of those happenings, but it can offer you, I feel, a mental and a emotional type of cushion so that you have a preparation on how to deal with things. Because what happens, and I know I can speak for myself, I don't know that I can speak for everyone, but when a lot of things happen to me, I had so many questions that I did not know how to answer. And I think those questions often went unanswered for too long, because you will make similar mistakes when you don't find the actual responses that are that are helpful to you and that help you grow and that help you build emotional and mental muscle. So I'm talking about, yeah, that early packing that any of us who are seasoned can offer to anyone as a mentor, as a friend, as a coach, as radio hosts, as however it is that we can impart information to help people along this journey. Know that there really are things that you can pack that won't necessarily stop the impact, but it definitely can help you have better tools on how to cope and how to strategize past those times in life that can appear so extremely challenging, like the one this young lady faced. Well, you were reflecting on some things I had said about how if we were just told a little bit more about how to handle some things, it could, you know, potentially help us through some of those times that seem to be challenging or that startle us so much that we, you know, find ourselves thrown off course or blind us so much that we can't see, you know, where we're going. The truth of the matter is that lessons really are very hard. They're hard, and particularly when you have very little information to support what may be happening to you. And so I really believe and know, like, you know, this isn't my quote, but knowledge really is power. And I feel that the earlier we start sowing that information into people, the better. Not that we're ever too old to learn it, because that's part of the reason why Foxology exists, is because I believe that we're never too old to get some new information that will help us live our lives more productively and more positively. But again, I can just use myself as the best example. I truly look back and I just wish I had understood so much more about things that happened, so that I would have had, you know, to just look into my bag and say, oh, this is something that I was told I could anticipate, that things go wrong, even the middle of things that you think you've dotted your I's and crossed your T's, that things can really go wrong. And so the plan from here is that you figure out what happened, and that it's not the end of the world, and because something didn't work, you can start something new. Those are things that conceptually I had to learn. But it's after you have felt, you know, like you banged into a brick wall, after, you know, you've hurt for a while about it, and then the light finally goes on, you know, those times where you feel blinded or off course until you, you know, think yourself through it long enough and come up with some revelations of your own. And for what I understand about life right now, of course, I have to be glad that I at least had the wherewithal to probe into circumstances mentally and look for a deeper meaning and understanding. But I also know that doesn't have to be the course. The seeds can be planted. As I said, lessons and of learning can be sown into individuals, so that when you come up to these things in life that you just didn't expect or weren't prepared for, you really can pull something out of that bag that looked like courage, that looked like the ability to overcome your own fears, some wisdom that had been imparted to you that will help you track yourself on down the road.
Yes, yes, I do. But and what I was saying before, the last time that the call dropped, is when I think about young people, and you and I both are trusted to speak to groups of young people often, I am always trying to be, or coming from the point of wanting to be an effective communicator. In other words, that's not just having information that I want to say. It's sharing the information that I have in a way that it will be received. And I I think about telling someone that something's going to be hard. Now, Silver, you know the way that I think. I know that our minds are wonderfully fertile places where everything that we experience has the potential to seed itself and grow. For that reason, I personally would not tell someone that something's going to be hard, because that is giving a viewpoint, a judgment, a definition to something that they could actually experience in another way. Rather, I like to tell young people that they are able to handle situations which seem less than lovely, which seem challenging, which might come across as painful, and to let them know that you don't get the stripes, you don't get the muscle, you don't get the position, you earn it, and that the earning and the learning and the growing through these times of adversity is okay. Well, maybe you can't embrace it, you might not be able to applaud it. Certainly you can expect it, but understand that it is not the thing that is designed or created or before you to take you under. It is the thing that is designed or created or before you to bring you over, and to let them know from that perspective that they are uniquely designed, created, and prepared, no matter what it feels like at the time, to overcome these things. These things are lessons, but also blessings, things that will grow you in just the way that you need to be grown. And so that way you know that, okay, there are situations that are going to be not as much fun as other times, but I am prepared, though I don't know it, I don't know how, but I am prepared. I have what it takes to make it through. And when I think about that, that is what I love my parents so much. They were able to kind of without scaring me with all the things that could go wrong, they were able to build me up and embrace me in a way where I just believed that nothing, no matter what, was going to do me in.
Well, we're having some interesting technical difficulties, and I guess we kind of knew how to prepare for that. We talked about it. It's kind of the same thing. It's an interesting thing, and I'd like to use every analogy possible, but while this is causing some unexpected interruptions in our conversation, it's a lot like what we're talking about life. And So these calls are dropping, and there was a lot of noise at one point where the call was getting ready to drop. So much noise being made and strange sounds. And I think that, you know, life, again, can sound like that to us, sound in quotes, kind of abrupt, and things happen and all of a sudden it's not going the way we want it to. And you and I had talked about it. We said, okay, if that happens, Cassandra, rather than me trying to reach out, you call me back because it's quicker. You see how, it to me, it says that if we can have some preparation that helps us to understand the potential issues, and I called them, I think I did say hard because you reflected on that, things have felt categorically hard to me, things that I've had to go through. I wish, again, that there had been another languaging that had been in my early years to help me look at it from a different perspective. I got a really good grip on it now. I mean, I got this, as they say. I know that, as you were saying before the call dropped, they're not going to do you in. They're there, but it's not going to do you in. If you know how to pull something out of that bag, it might look like, you know, just being more assertive. It might be pulling some additional thinking out of there. It might mean
additional strength that you have to pull out of there. But you're right, you do have what you need. Somebody sometimes has to show it to you.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's in the bag. It's packed in the bag already. You're absolutely right. But yeah, it was a great explanation that you gave of how to bring these particular issues, these points along life, into the minds of children, and what they should anticipate and how they should feel about themselves and how they should handle it. Let's move on, though, to talk about as we go on into that journey and we do become adults. You know, so much does happen that is unanticipated, unexpected, unwanted even, I can say. You know, we start out and I think about, people start out going to into a career, and then they find out that it's the wrong one, or they start out, you know, in college and they don't get to finish, or, you know, they say I do and really mean it for, you know, death and do until death do us part, and that, you know, something happened before that and it didn't go the distance. And there are a myriad of other things that happen that are unexpected, unanticipated, and unwanted. And what do you say in regard to the initial shock, the distress, the stress, the fears that we find our fearful places we find ourselves in when we get to those points in life? What kind of things do we need to have in our bag to get ourselves going again?
Some oxygen, girlfriend, to just keep on breathing. Oxygen mask, some kind of tube. I think about, and I say this on many occasions to my younger sister's child, just keep on living. When it is a serious and feeling to them critical situation, I tell them more seriously, don't forget to breathe. And do no harm to yourself or to anyone else. And that is because life is, it's collective. Everything means something. Everything is connected. I know, I have found this to be fact in my life. I would have told my younger self, when I think back on me, at 25, or even 35, as I am now 53, I chuckle. I just laugh at what I thought things meant. At that point, I took things very personally. Lessons that were coming to teach me. Things that were coming to grow me up, I took personally, and then I got offended, and I would trip and fuss and moan and waste time, if that's possible. I certainly wouldn't spend time productively until I realized that these things kept on coming. I had to put, as you know, for us, Silver, God in the midst of everything, and if God is, and they need a clear definition of what God is to you. Well, to me, God is love and good and in control of everything. So if that be true, and God's not out to get me, but I feel gotten constantly, what does it mean? It must be coming to teach me something. And I say this often. It is the reason that you do these mastermind first Mondays, and I'm so thankful that you invite me to do them with you. You and I are of the same, if not similar, if not the same minds, and we both know that your life manifests through your thought about the life that you're living, and that you can change your mind by expanding your thought. And so when I think about what we go through at, at as younger people or even adults sometimes, when the things that we thought we were leaning on, when those things that we thought we were creating or building or investing in, that they would keep us then safe or secure, when those things seem to be taken from us or removed, it's just, if you live through it, it's just there to teach you something. We should then, therefore, learn to live without taking ourselves so seriously. Learn to live freer of the things that we think we have or that we're working towards that we think will make us feel happy and secure. There is no security, and I doubt that there's any happiness to be found outside of each and every one of us, outside of what we have within us, and what we each of us possess right now. I think the focus should be more on developing that inside versus reaching, leaning for and on something that is outside of ourselves. If that were the case, we might then learn to be more present, as we talked about even for children, but to be more present in the days that we have and to bless the things of the day that we have. When I think about my younger self, as I had occasion to share with a friend and who was going through just such a time as you are talking about, and I said, think of your life, this journey, as a book. Your book might be, 500 pages long. You're just on page 250. Keep on writing it and keep on reading it. When I look back, if I'm now on page 475, when I look back at page 20, I mean, it's laughable. But on page 20, I had no idea what page 200 would look like. But I was growing, and I wouldn't be able to stand where I am right now if I had not grown through those times of seeming adversity, those things that hurt me that ended up helping me, those things that I thought would break me that ended up making me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said a few things that I just want to quickly reflect on before we talk about another aspect of the journey. I love that you said look in that bag and get some oxygen, because the first thing, you just need to take a deep breath. You need to breathe. That's awesome. To remember to get insightful about things, to really pull something out of there that makes you take a look at things for how they are. And you said something else about getting freer, and which I also feel is an important thing, because wherever we were that we thought, whatever we thought was supposed to happen, we have to free ourselves from that, because something else obviously has happened, which is what's wonderful, is open the door for something else wonderful to happen. And reflecting on something you said earlier that we have to be careful of not to pull out of there is the victimization, because that will only send us back down the wrong road. So I really think that was really, really excellent. Let's talk about another point of dilemma in life's journey, and that is in the in-between times, the in-the-meantime times, where we are often searching, or there may be an element of feeling lost, blind, depressed, anxious, unsure, uncertain of what to do with the next, whatever the next is, that we sometimes don't even know what next really is. But we've got this time that keeps going on that we may have begun thinking, it probably would be resolved soon. And soon turns into a month, and then months, and then a year, and maybe longer. Such again in the case of that young lady who, after 2 years, still couldn't find a job. But there are ways, again, that we can look at it, because there are very few people I've ever talked to that have not experienced a
phase, if you will, on the journey, where there was that in between time, that in the meantime, that felt like crisis, that felt like it's a critical point. But we know, and what we've learned is that oftentimes we are on the brink of something. We just really can't see it at the time. So let's talk briefly about how to handle the time where you feel blinded, you feel discouraged, and again, to know that it doesn't mean that you get off the road and say I'm done. It feels like that. I mean, I've read several stories recently, actually very similar to that young lady that just had me shaking my head. Again, because I think I've dealt with challenges and obviously not severe enough to drive me that to that point, but I feel like I have a degree of understanding the dilemma of it. And if we can know, again, just to look in the bag for some inkling of strength to say, okay, it's been a while, but I still have to hang in there. What are your thoughts on the meantime and in between time?
Embrace it. Redefine it if you can. That might not be easily done in the beginning. But most of us, Silver, won't stop until we have to. Stop what, you might say? Reality TV, the internet, the rat race, the unrealistic pace, trying to keep up with what advertisers tell us our lives should look like, feel like, be like, where we should be at certain ages and stages. All of this information, all of these lies, all of this input from the world, which is designed to keep us consuming, to keep us afraid enough to buy what we are supposed to buy, to keep us thinner, younger, happier, richer, in love, and out of trouble. just all funny, if you really think about it. Funny but true. Most of us won't stop to shut that off. Shut it off to hear what's inside. Hear what's inside to see where we are, who we are, and what we're here to do until we have to. Lord, make me so uncomfortable until I have to do the thing I fear the most, which is fall out of the race. And appear to be less than, appear to be lost, appear to be behind as we compare ourselves with the world and everything outside of ourselves. Now, when you say it like that, it all makes sense, doesn't it? It's not really crazy. And you think, well yeah. I as you know, the radio show that I did, we started together and I carried on for years after, ended in the third month of 09. That was March of 09. The TV show, which I currently do, Real Milwaukee, did not start until September of 10. Well, that's about 17 months of mean time. Mm-hmm. And it got even meaner because my mother passed in 10-09, in October of 09. And anybody who's lost anybody knows that grief has its own two legs and just walks in your life and does what it will until you are strong enough to face it and embrace it and let it be part of the journey that you walk together versus it dragging you around or not. But what I did in that meantime, in that in-between time, because of what I know, was I decided to go ahead and grow further. After 5 years, 5+ years of talking daily on the radio, I really felt like I had said everything I knew, and that what I needed was to replenish. I'm sure you remember me sharing that with you. It's like it ended, even though it ended seemingly unexpectedly. I would not have left on that day. But I also know, Silver, that it is not possible for us to lose what is ours. It is not possible. And so when we have the appearance of things that we want falling away from us, that in between time, that mean that valley time, it is sometimes that we are made uncomfortable enough to do something different, to shut off the world, to shut off the TV, to shut off the internet, to stop running around in circles, to get off the treadmill, to sit still, to maybe ask some questions, to shut off our egos, to ask for help from inside, to see what's inside, to cultivate what's inside. You know, Silver, that I spent those 17 months in my window, child, with my journals and with my reading. So my mind didn't slip off the edge of despair.
Mm-hmm.
And within that window, that journal, that replenishing time, I designed yet another phase of my life. Or I opened my mind to receive the next step. Define it any way you like. It happened. And so the meantime, the in-between time, is a time of rest and redirection, if you look at it that way. If you do not, it's hell.
Well, there's no question about that, and I want people who listen to understand, because it can be agonizing for, mm-hmm. again, someone who doesn't know the right understanding of it to pull out of their bag. And mm-hmm. the way you just described it is very helpful, and that's exactly what those are the types of points I am wanting to make. Because we do have tremendous amount of questions about direction. You know, I have on my notes, know when to get to a rest spot. Maybe it's designed for that. Maybe it's designed to say, hey, take a break. Let's take a better look at things. Maybe this is a point in the road where it's going to mean something so new and so different and so wonderful for me, but it does have its own element of when it's going to happen down the road. Sometimes, like what you just described about going from the radio to the TV, the TV position wasn't there yet. It had to manifest.
Nor was I ready for it. As mm-hmm. much as I thought I was.
Yeah, so I think that if we can, again, that whole concept of thinking like this, though, is not always told to us at points where, again, it could relieve us, if you will, from that mental distress, and that we can almost even enjoy the meantime or the in-between time, knowing and understanding that this is a period of time that's linking me to, or I'm traveling to, something that is going to be productive and positive if I can just stay on the road and continue to see things with that kind of thinking. And that's the, you know, that's the healthy and proactive approach to dealing with those times where we instead we'll perhaps victimize ourselves and, you know, complain and gripe and cry and all other kinds of negative things that we look and we're going through the bag, and that's what we're pulling out instead of looking at those other nice things, that new things that we had gone shopping for. We look for the things that are not as helpful to us in those particular times along the journey. Well, let's talk about at this point what to do when you really do feel that you have hit, let's say, a dead end, and where it feels like to you there really is nowhere to go. And typically a person will feel like this when they've reached a later point in life, perhaps, and
Someone sent me a text the other day. I've made some phenomenal friendships through social media, women who I have, and men who I have come to know as friends and admire, and who have offered words of admiration to me. But someone just out of thinking about me the other day texted me and said, "It's never too late to be extraordinary." And I thought, you know, what a blessing, first of all, to get that text, that someone just felt inspired to say those words. But I think it's so important when a person who has lived as much life as I had, who many times would be thinking, well, I'm on the wrap-up phrase here for everything that I think I had thought I would do with my life and perhaps didn't happen. But there's a new consciousness now. There is no such thing as a dead end unless you really aren't breathing. There are people that are coming up with ideas and innovations, and at points in life where, again, people are, you know, used to be when you retired, that's really what you did, and you just didn't think about doing anything else but that. But that's a old theory now. So we have to remind people to look in that bag, pack the confidence that it ain't over till it's over mm-hmm. with you, so that when you feel like you are at a dead end, you have to tell yourself, it just ain't so. There is something else that can bring my life more meaning, more purpose, more joy, more fun, more learning, and the list goes on.
Yes, it does. I would say that a hearing aid might be in that bag as well, especially as you get older. and not that you can hear what's outside of the world, what's outside of yourself, but that you can hear what's on the inside. Again, as you talk about facing the nearing the end of a journey, so says who, by whose definition? If you think that at age 60, 50, 60, 70, you should be shopping for retirement homes and rocking chairs, then you are preparing yourself to spend your time and your days in that way. If you think, however, that at 50, 60, 70, you can then start, you'll have more time to start a new career, to broaden your education, to finally probably possibly do the thing that you've been dreaming of doing all along, then that's what you'll do. So a hearing aid, so you can hear your heart at that age and in those stages. Silver, you and I both know that thoughts are no small thing. Thoughts are creative. Thoughts are intuitive. Thoughts are invitations. And it is the thing, and all of us have them, when we especially shut out the world, they feel like, they sometimes sound like this: I'd be happy if only I could. Maybe it feels like this. You look at something that resonates with something past your thinking, and you feel yourself smiling, or you feel yourself excited about the thought of doing something. Those are the things that are searching for you. You have them because there's a part of your soul that recognizes your presence in these places, in these things. They're no small things, but we need to learn how to honor that. So what does that mean? Honor it. Learn about it. Read about it. It has been studied and proven that retirement is really just it's an older concept. It's really one that's just obsolete. What keeps you alive is your excitement and your presence about the days before you. And if you are to get out of bed today to spend your time learning something new, something of which you are interested in, doing something that excites and fascinates you, well then, we would never grow old. We would just grow, and I guess one day when it's time, die happy because we lived.
Great, great insight. Well, we are at the tail end of things here, and again, it's been a very thought-filled and interesting, and I'm hoping and praying inspiring conversation for those who listen. I've been talking with Cassandra McShepherd. She is one of the TV hosts of Real Milwaukee, and we've been discussing life is a journey. How do you pack for it? And we've come up with some thoughts that, again, just want to reflect on a little bit. You know, we have to be prepared for things because things do happen unexpectedly. They, you know, we can have unanticipated things along the way. Get started as early as possible, packing your bag so that you can have some good knowledge base and understanding of how things can shake out in life. But also, it will still work for you as you go along the way so that you have some wisdom and encouragement and strength and insight and assertiveness and a way to think about things and oxygen, like Cassandra said, to pull out whenever you need it. And there will be in-between times where, again, it may be a point where you just need to take a rest or refuel so that you can continue on the journey. And remember, there is no such thing as a dead end. It's not over until it's over, and it's never too late to continue on with new things and new ideas. Cassandra, I want to thank you again for taking time out of the life of a busy TV host to join me for Master Your Mindset Monday. And I am going to reach out and talk to you in just a little bit. I'm going to have to go in and do a little editing on this show, but that's okay. We got to make it right for those who are going to listen later as well. But I appreciate you, my sister, as always, and love you for, again, taking on this task to help
as
others
always,
be it.
No, I was going to say, as always, it is my pleasure. I think that you and I both feel humbled to be trusted to talk to people.
No doubt about that. So if any of you want to check out Cassandra, she's got a fabulous website. That's www.CassandraMcShepherd.com. It's on the Blog Talk Radio website on this particular show page, and other interesting things that she's doing. You can check out her morning show Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. She is just a delight to watch. So I hope that you will do that, and I'm hoping you'll join us again for the next Master Your Mindset Monday. I try to lock Cassandra in, and she has been available, fortunately. She and I really do enjoy the coaching that we are able to do together. So, Cassandra, I will give you a holler a little bit later, and thank you so much. Love you. Have a great day.
Sounds good. Thank you and all your listeners, and don't forget, change your mind. Thank you, Silver.
All righty. Talk to you later. And thank you all again for tuning in to Foxology. Please tell your friends, your social media friends about Foxology, and that it's so easy to log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Foxology. And I'm promising you I'll always bring you some very good, positive, and often life-changing information. So I hope that you can tune in regularly. I want you to go out and make it a great day. And remember, in the meantime, make it proactive. Do something positive. Enjoy life. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again real soon.